Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you this wonderful morning. I want to celebrate Reverend Ben and Pastor Kay. Please, can you just help me just celebrate them well, please. The way you are celebrating, me, I'm not sure. Come on, now, let's celebrate them. They are not here right now, but they are very much with us in the spirit. I think I will just say my name is Tony Uzo. My number is 3279-7959. For those of you who don't know, just call me. You will know why I gave you the number. Praise God. I almost forgot I was going to be part of the team that is going to minister today in terms of words, because I was so carried away by what was happening in the spirit. That song just took me to another level. I wanted to say, please, let's just stay here. Don't go anywhere again. Eagle Heights, you're powerful, please. Mercy, that was, you were in another realm. All right, so I'm going to pick up from where we began in the first service. I wasn't opportune to take the meeting, but I knew that Pastor Derek spoke on brief conversations, and so get the message. Pastor Peter, I was hearing him reiterating it, brave conversations, and I'm wondering what the brave conversations are. So I will pick up from there. I'm going to talk about something that will help us to thrive in our relationships, which is our series for the month. Let's look at Ephesians 4:15-16. It says there, instead of speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's a whole lot of words that are being said in that scripture. But what comes to mind is the way the body is cited out. In the human body, you have different organs. And I'm pretending that all the organs in the human body are alive. They're like human beings. I'm just pretend with me. You have the kidney, you have the lungs, you have the heart, you have the, please be helping me, you know, we did biology a little bit. The liver, all right. Now you have all these organs and you have systems working together, and somehow they work without complaining or arguing with each other. They just function effectively and they make your system work. They make your body move. And I feel that that's what God is asking that we should portray as people who are in a community, where we have different job functions, but at the same time, we can connect with each other without being troubled about the other person's uniqueness. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, Paul was trying to reiterate what Jesus did when he was about to leave. And when he gave, when he had given thanks, he broke it, that's the bread, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So this scripture simply matches the first one that I spoke about. The goal is God wants us to have relationships that will be sustainable till he comes. And we will do everything to make sure that those relationships do not crack. And I believe that the body of Christ is supposed to be an example to the world, the cynical world, so that when they see the example of our unity, though we are diverse, they see our unity, then they can begin to say, okay, I want to be part of this body. So Jesus says, anytime you take the body, have this remembrance. Anytime you eat the communion, have this remembrance, have it at the back of your mind, that we are a body. Now, we don't eat each other. We don't fight each other. We may have disagreements, may have things that don't match up, but we know how to connect even in our disagreements. That's what he's talking about. Always remember my picture I gave earlier of the lung and the kidney and how they have different assignments, yet they flow with each other. So I wrote this that I'm going to talk about dealing with insecurity. Because I strongly believe that the reason why we disconnect or we have relationships that don't last is because we are not secure. We are not secure in ourselves. We are not secure in who we are. So we think that everybody is a threat. And our environment even speaks that loud to us. We live in an environment where the diversity that we have or the challenges we have as a nation, we try to pin it down on the fact that this person is from this ethnic group or this person is from this religious group. So that kind of thing sometimes simmers down into church, which is not supposed to be. I don't know if I'm making sense to you at all. So I'll be talking about dealing with insecurity. Now, I wrote this down. I said, relationships that thrive is a kingdom goal. That's the goal of the kingdom. God wants us to have relationships that thrive. And I think he showed it in the idea of wanting to make man. The Bible says, God, the Father, Word, Spirit came together. I say, let us make man. So in that, their diversity of operation, they had to come to a conclusion that this is what we're going to do. So relationship is key for God, and that's the goal. And in Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, he says, let them be one, just as we are one. Typifying the importance of relationship. You can't pull it out. Unfortunately, we live in an environment where daily we are being told that you should be yourself, you on your own. All man for himself, God for us all. It's not a correct statement. All right? But we've borrowed it, and somehow we just want to live by that. And as long as we try to live by what the world is telling us, we won't get the benefits of what true relationship brings. There are wonderful benefits in relationship. Okay, you just look at your human body. The kidney has a role to play, but it cannot play it outside of the body. The lungs have a role to play, but it cannot play it outside of the body. The heart has a role to play, but it cannot play it outside of the body. So we play the game in the body. So that your uniqueness and your gifting is really not so special outside of the body. I think it's in Romans chapter 12, where I think it's from verse 3, where the Bible was saying, well, we should celebrate ourselves, but we should not think more highly than we ought to about ourselves. There's nothing wrong in saying, oh, I can do this. But when you begin to do, when you begin to have that notion that, you know, you're better off aside from everybody, then there's a problem. It brings you to a place where you are tempted by the enemy, and certain things are stolen from you. Let me give you an example. When God made man, he said man should not be alone. Then he brought a woman. What is that supposed to be? That's relationship. So he knew that man, as Adam, alone could not work. He needed relationship. But what did the enemy do? He cut Eve to one side and started redefining what relationship is as his way. I said, you know, God doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm trying to break it down for you. And before you know what's happening, she took the decision, and you all know what happened. they were off from God. So I'm saying true relationship took that unity, brings us to a place where we can draw enough revelation from God. But when we are aside on our own, we really can't draw revelation from God. And revelation cannot be used by you alone. It has to be used in relationship. Praise the Lord. So you need to understand this statement that relationship is the goal of the kingdom. And we need to be in covenant to sustain it. So a covenant is a commitment that lies behind any successful relationship. So what is making relationships to flow the way it's supposed to flow is covenant. And that's not a word that's very acceptable today. Covenant. What are we covenanting? In fact, when you say covenant, you're looking at the devil's side. You know, covenant, blood, you know. So it's really not something that is. But I'll give you an example of what I feel covenant is in terms of his picture. Abraham and God had a covenant. And that covenant made God to constantly commune with him. That's a relationship. They made God, and they tied it up with the covenant, an agreement that they'll be together. They'll be vulnerable with each other. They'll be open to each other. They will be intimate with each other. That's what covenant means. Because you are saying you're going to allow everything about you to come out in front of this person and not be ashamed. There'll be freedom. So God practiced it with Abraham. And at one point in time, there was a change. God decided that he wanted to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah for their misbehavior, which is justified. But Abraham sought to discuss with God. And in discussing with God, almost got to a point where he changed God's heart, because for every time he asked a question, what if I find this, will you change? God said, I will. So the beauty of covenant is that it allows the other person to come into your life and bring in some things that you do not know about. It allows the other person to bring in some influence into your life and adjust certain things that may be wrong in your life. It also allows you to bring in something to somebody else's life. But again, we live in an environment where we don't believe in covenant and we don't want to accept covenant. So what the enemy does is that he attacks the intimacy. Because in covenant, you have intimacy. You have deep connection. Somebody was telling me something. He said, I'm so excited that you guys have been together. It didn't dawn on me, but I now realized it. Say, you've been together for close to about 10 years, and people don't do that. You know what is? Then it now dawned on me that really, we've been in covenant. Covenant doesn't mean you would always agree with the person, but you understand there are some deeper things that is making you stay together. Yeah. Praise God. So, let's go on. I move forward to say that covenant is the agreement between two parties to be committed to their relationship. Covenant comprises of the principles of integrity and freedom that guarantee a relationship will be preserved. See what I put? Integrity and the freedom that guarantee that the relationship will be preserved. Reverend told us something about his friend that he had known for 25 years. I'm using Reverend as an example because we saw the guy was here. And I said to him, I said, you know, how do people sustain that level of, or that length of relationship? It's all because of covenant. I'm trying to say covenant is not a spooky thing. Hello? Because when we hear covenant, we're like, oh, it's an outdated thing. It's just an agreement to go through with someone and say we will keep this relationship. Whether there are irregularities in the system, whether things don't work well, you see, we will keep this relationship. So some of us are already practicing it, but maybe we didn't even know that we're already practicing. I just came here to let us know that we need to strengthen that in order to deal with insecurity. I'll go further. You know, where there is freedom in relationship, what will be left? When there's no freedom in a relationship, what will be left is control. So, people are in relationships. The reason why those relationships don't last is because somebody is trying to control the relationship. And nobody likes control. That's just the truth. Once someone is trying to control you, you will go away. That's the truth. I'm trying to show you some of the reasons why some of us never stay in relationships because it's this person. And control is not that they are shouting, I'm controlling you. Certain things, certain moves they make, or certain moves the person makes, and you know that this person is trying to control you, so you retract your steps. When I was preparing this message, I had a picture. I had a picture of myself and my sons. I like God. He always likes to show you, you know, let me show you where you are doing well or whether you are not doing so that you can improve. My uncle came to visit us and my son was hitting something on the table. And I go, you're making noise. And the guy goes, what noise is he making? He's not making noise. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Now in my mind, he's making noise. But in the mind of my uncle, he's not making noise. What's the problem? I can't see. I'm thinking that as a child, he's supposed to know that he's making noise. Like, can you imagine? Do you see the difference? As a child, he's supposed to know he's making noise. So I want to control him now so that he doesn't continue to make noise. So he was showing me the picture. And then he showed me another picture. I said, look, you notice that your sons gravitate more to the mom than you. I say, yeah, they have what to discuss now. I'm giving you an example. And he goes, you're very interesting. Do you know when you put up your phone, your children gather to look at the phone? Huh? They want to see. That behavior does not make sense to me. Why are you gathering me? Why are you gathering me? Don't gather me. I just put up the phone. And then he showed me a picture. He said, you see, remember when you were younger? When you gathered the television? You know, I loved movies when I was growing up. So my dad would be there, would come. I said, did you ever see your dad drive you away? I said, no. He said, see, what you are doing now is that you are fostering control. And very soon, those children will grow up. And when they grow up, they won't be with you. They will quietly see that you want to control. They will stay with their mom. And when they come, they will briefly see their mom and briefly leave you. My son told me one day, you know that you children talk these days. Not like those days when we don't talk. Control. Those days when we don't talk. Control. So he told me, he said, you're always on your computer. And I said, I'm always on my computer. In my mind, I was like, who gave you the audacity to even say that word? I didn't say it to him, but like, I said, I'm always on my computer. I said, yes, now you don't have time. And he was showing me these pictures. Control. So control comes in different ways. But he was showing me what you were doing. And then sometimes he showed me some things with my wife. He said, you're not listening. But you want to be in charge of the discussion. He said, I know. You don't know. That's why Reverend says you need to practice to be in the team of feelingship. Remember the message from feelingship. Women feel. And Mama said, you treat women with understanding, not knowledge. As me, as a guy, it's knowledge. You're supposed to know this thing. So when they're discussing, I said, come on, man. Control. You see how subtle it is? So control is not that I'm telling you that. It's subtle. And you're thinking you're trying to put the house in order. You're not trying to put the house in order. You are already putting the house in disorder. So he showed me all these things, and I said, this is terrible. And why was he showing me this? He said, listen, because you're having control, it's because you don't want things to go wrong. You have a good intention, but you have a wrong approach to it. You want to control things so that things don't go wrong. And that's because you are insecure. Or you're overprotective. And many of us are in that place. We don't want things to go wrong. I say, okay, I don't want to have shame. At the end of the day, you know, my son must be in order. My sons must be in order. Look at you now. Is that how you came to order? You want to, I see, you want to prove to the society that you are doing well. Especially those of us who are pastors. I mean, you look at it now. Just imagine if you see my son tomorrow, 10 years from now, and say, "What's up, daddy?" God forbid, say, "God forbid, God forbid, God forbid." But control can push him to that place. Because the opposite of control is relationship. That's just the opposite. You are now gisting with them. You know, my uncle now told me something. He said, "Okay, this is what I'm going to do." I was talking about his son. He said, "When he's so and so age, this is what you do. You begin to now show him life skills. You go out with him, talk with him, gist with him, so that he can learn. And through his learning, he can choose what is not right and what is right. So you don't need to control him. You show him." You know, the problem with most of us is that we don't know that the DNA for your child to go the right way is already inside him. So you're trying to protect God's assignment to you. Did you hear the scripture? The Bible says children are an inheritance of the Lord. God gave them to you just to manage them. So inside you, if you're a child of God, and there's a DNA, but if you don't train them the way they should go, you have the opposite. So your dependency should be on God at all times, so that a relationship can go. Because sometimes I ask myself, okay, what will I be discussing with my 8-year-old son? What are we going to discuss? There's nothing to discuss. Really, there's nothing to discuss, because you say there's nothing to discuss. Do you don't know those guys have a? There's no small and junior Holy Spirit. That's one day he told me. He said, "There's no small." That means they have things they know you don't know. At least they know their friends who don't know their friends. So that's a start of discussion you can discuss with them. You want to build relationship. Sometimes I started trying. I said, okay, so I'll try. How was school today? Fine. What do you guys learn? We have forgotten. And I'm saying, how can you forget what you have learned? You can't forget. I'm going, see, control again. Control, control. So he said, that's not how it is. You have to come to their level. Did you see when Pastor was teaching something? He said, if you want to talk to a child and you're trying to listen to the child, you calm down. So the same thing, you calm down to their level. So you parley with them. You are not like a child. I just found that it was difficult for me to adjust, but I know I have to adjust because that's what God demands. And I discovered that, he said, you see this way you're behaving. That's how you behave to other people. You don't know. Your children are just showing you. Sorry, I'm just trying to tell you. It's God's conversation. It's a brief conversation between me and God. I'm saying this so that some of us can look in the mirror and really check how we look like. Because you can be living a life that is really not the life that God wants you to live and think that you're doing it well. Especially if we have this code, Christian. You may be religious and yet you don't have a covenant relationship with the people in your office. You don't have a covenant relationship with your wife. You don't have a covenant relationship with your children. You don't have it. All you have is a control mechanism because you want to get results. So your children are now like projects, or human beings are now like projects, and you cannot treat any human being like a project. If you treat them like projects, they will also treat you like somebody who does not need to receive anything from them. So the Bible says here, now that where the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it's the Spirit of God that helps us to begin to see the areas where we are allowing the enemy to give us words that will bring control. How many of you know that sometimes when you ask your children, what do you want to study in school? And they tell you it's music. Will you be happy? If you say, I want to study music. Okay. I want to study. Do you know how I know? I met one young person here. I said, what are you studying? He said, computer engineering. Education. So the face went down when he said education. I was like, what's wrong with education? He wasn't too happy. Some of us as parents will not be excited when our children bring some particular courses. because it doesn't tally well with our thinking. You know, the way we grew up, those days when we grew up, it's either you are a medical doctor or you are an accountant or whether you are, you know the four main guys. Where did he take you to? So he said, no, I want to study theater arts. He said, come here. You want to be acting in a Hollywood movie? I better sit down. Control. So it takes the Spirit of God to create liberty and to create. Now, because you are dealing with your insecurities, you are afraid. You're not sure what's going to come out of that thing. Let me just quickly so that I can tie it up. Control comes into relationship when you become too protective or insecure. Now, there are things that we could do to shift from this place of being too protective or insecure. I wrote there that what we should do is purposely grow our capacity to trust those who are our friends and also be trusted as we empower and confront each other. Because that's where the game plan is. I discover that I hate when, and most people don't like it, when it is, you know, if me and Pastor Mercy were discussing on things that we agree on, there's no problem. Yeah, Pastor Mercy, how you doing? Yeah, how's work? Fine. You say, oh, yeah, Pastor Derek, things are going on. Well, yeah, yes, okay. But once we come to a place of disagreement, we do not have the tools of engaging effectively. He said, no, you can't. I said, yes, you know, I'm telling you. And, you know, for me, I'm number one in my house. I'm the first. The others are under. So they are used to taking orders. So the only option I know is to send the order. And if you do not take the order, you will know. So you can't, I'm showing you that it happens to most of us. You need to shift from control to a place of now passing your information and opinions in such a way that you influence them to take the right thing. But we do not even know how to communicate effectively. That's the problem. When we want to communicate, you know, most of us in this part of the world, when we're communicating, they say your own, I say my own. So as you are saying your own, the person is not listening, no. You say, yes, 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 this is my own. Then all you have is just an argument. But sometimes you allow people to say what they want to say. You allow them to even take the decisions they want to take and discover their mistakes so that you can effectively confront them. Did you hear what I said? Everybody is an adventurer. And nobody wants to be pulled down or siphoned in one particular place. So if, for instance, I have an argument with or a disagreement with Pastor Victoria, and I know that I'm correct, instead of me forcing it down her throat because I'm a leader, because that's what we do most of the time, and our environment has helped us to do that even more. You know, this thing of military rule, where we just accept whatever I say, it has affected us. We don't know. So when you carry it back into your own. For a good number of years, we were under the military rule. So all we understand is if we say something to you, you must do it. Even now in our legislative sector, we don't query certain things. We just take what they have said. Am I making sense to you at all? And we don't even know how to actually query them. You say they have said it now, so let's take it. So if policies are going to be made, we do not know how to battle so that we can change those policies. We do not know. And it's not because we don't want to. It's just we don't know how to communicate effectively. That's what I'm trying to say. So we need to learn what communication is. You listen to what the person is saying. Listening is difficult. Pastor did a test for some of us. He said, say something to somebody. And then the person answered back what the person said. Most of us didn't listen to what they heard. To hear and to listen are two different things. Listening means I'm absorbing what you are saying and I'm ready to take what you're saying. Did you hear what I said? I'm absorbing what you are saying and I'm ready to take what you're saying, even if I don't agree with it. Because you have a right to choose your life. But when you finish choosing your life and it is not right, as a family, we will not come and tell you, my brother, we have seen this thing that you have done. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And you also have seen it. Let's help you clean the mess. But insecurity will not allow us to do that. We say we want to call. We must let them. And the danger in that is that that person will never grow out to be his true self and will eventually not learn how to take risks. I don't know how I'm making sense to you at all. So I will be killing my sons. I'm going back to them. That's what he was telling me. If you don't start relating with them, one day they were saying something. Say, this girl is fine. They were talking to themselves. 8 and 11. I was somewhere else. They were talking about that. Say, be there. Just be there. Don't deceive. They know. They know better than you. So I was in my mind. I was like, this girl is fine. How do they know that this girl is fine? And you don't even, I just went straight. I said, Kai, you should shut up. Carry your books and read. What are you doing? I didn't deal with the issue. Because I didn't know what to do. I was shocked. But that shock did not allow me. See, I'm being real to you. And some of us, you see, that's how you move. That's how you move. Because this is a picture of, God was just telling my brother, wait, sit down. Sit down, let me teach you first. Because before you go and say you want to exhort people, exhort yourself. No, I said, hey, sit down. Look at you're not. So I say, how will I tell them? What am I going to tell them? What are we going to do? What am I going to say? They're already saying the girl is fine. The girl is not fine. Jesus Christ, the girl is fine. The girl is not fine. Then he reminded me, my brother, when you were 10, were you not also seeing that fine girls were fine? What's your own? But because you were secretive then, you expect it to be secretive now. Let's ask ourselves, when did you start looking at gay? You ask yourself, when did you start looking at gay? Let's really, Mr. Bode, when did you start looking at gay? What do you do? None of those days we do it for him. Now they're doing it live. So he was showing me all this. I said, listen, my brother, this control mechanism will not work. Oh. You better know how you are going to be related with these boys. Let us be free. Create an frame so that you can see the mess. Create a free environment. Allow them. So I now knew that it was important for me to allow my youngest son to be hitting the table. I'd not be telling him that there's something wrong with hitting the table. For him, at that point, then there's nothing wrong. And then to learn how to communicate effectively with him so that he can see how to grow up from hitting the table to doing something else. I don't know if I'm making sense to you at all. So we should do. What we should do is to purposely grow our capacity. If my sons trust me, they won't have a problem telling me the girl is fine. They were talking to themselves. So they can go and talk to somebody who's another adult. Who will not tell them, it's not only girls that are fine. You know, have you checked some boys? Some boys are fine. Are you getting my picture? These are real issues. Some boys are actually fine. Then the next thing after some time, say, daddy, that boy is fine. I say, that boy is fine. So the thing you are trying to control will only cause more catastrophe. That's what I'm trying to say. It creates more problems. It doesn't work. It's the devil that is making us think it's working. It's not working. You are not in control. You can't control anybody. Even God does not control you. That's why you can't control anybody. One day, God told me something. He said, listen, I've told this story here before. I saw ants going through a hole. And I said, these ants, they were trying to carry something to the hole. I said, they're very foolish. I didn't know he was going for me. They are trying to put this into a hole. It will work. And he said, yes. And if they will keep on trying until they get it right. He said, that's how it is in a relationship. You don't build on mistakes. Because if you are going to be building on mistakes, you will always want to control it. You allow people to make their mistakes and then you will be able to draw them out from the mistakes. You show them that this is what, so they can do the right thing. You say, okay, am I going to continue to allow them to make mistakes every time? That's why you have the Holy Spirit. Hello. I think I've given enough illustration. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity and of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So in church, we should stop this. He's from Ajakuta. I'm from Amanibo man. We should move beyond because we are actually brothers. You know, somebody asked a question one time. He said, do you know the person beside you? Do you know his name? In church. They discovered they don't know. He said, okay, the other person beside you, do you know his name? He said, how long have you been in this church? He said, 6. You know, how many have you? He said, 5. You have been in church for 5 years. You have been in church for 6 years. And you don't know each other's name. He said, they see and they go. They see and they come. You make effort. You are the one. He didn't say they should make effort. We have this idea of thinking that they should make effort. I'm thinking that my son should step up their game. No, I should step up my game. I'm thinking that my wife should step up her game. No, I should step up my game. I'm using basic relationships. Or in the office, you also should step up your game to move further to see how we can tie these knots. I just want to say this. When the Bible is saying make every effort, the effort here is directed towards bond. God will create unity of wholeness within the group of people as a church. That's why I love this idea of life group, irrespective of the differences. So what are the things we need to change? So that we can begin to walk towards this small assignment that God is giving us, so that we won't be living in insecurity. Because many of us, I didn't even know I was living in insecurity until he showed me, he said, my brother, you're insecure. Once you try to channel your life into somebody and you're trying to control the person's life, you are insecure. It's not going to work. Ask the married men. How long have you been able to succeed at controlling your wife? You know, we used to think this, I'm the head of the house. The head of the house simply means the responsibility officer. To allow other people to be themselves. So this is what we do. These are the things I feel when you need to have a change of perspective. If you're going to endeavor to bring bond and bring peace and have tribe relationships and have a covenant relationship and not be in control, you have to regularly change your perspective on how you see things from God's angle. That's the first one. It's not about any person, it's about you. The second one is that the readiness to communicate. Maybe this sounds like what Pastor Derek, I didn't see him. But the readiness to now go and say, okay, fine, I want to confront an issue, ugly issue. Some of us don't like issues that we just say, since they quarrel, no, just leave it like that. There's a burning thing on ground, let's leave it like that. Then it continues to grow and grow and grow. There has to be that readiness to go and sit down, not shout on each other, and say, okay, this is what I feel, and this is what you feel, and this is what we feel we need to do. The willingness to forgive and move on. Some of us are too tight. This is another reason why we stay in insecurity. I don't want anybody to hurt me. I've had enough of hurts growing up. See, as long as you have human beings, you will have hurting beings. Is that the right English? Yes. As long as you have human beings, you have hurting people who want. It's a normal in this congregation now, as we are here now. There are people who don't like your face just because you even wore it. Some people don't even like that. What is Jesse? What is this one now? Does he think it's so? And if they voice it, it's hurting. So people must hurt you, but you must be ready to forgive and move on. You know how many times God has been forgiving us? It's uncountable. He chooses to forgive. I'm not saying it won't give you pain in your heart what the person has done, but you choose. I just want to let go. It helps you. Because if you don't forgive, you will control. You will control. The next relationship you are in, you will do everything to make sure that they don't do anything to you. In the process, you will manage that person and cause hurt. Number four, a heart that can trust. I'm looking at points that will help us to deal with our insecurity. A heart that can trust. Now, you may not trust the person that did something to you before, but some of us take it to the extreme that we will trust no man again. Sometimes people do something, say, for this reason, I won't trust any person again. Somebody told me something, say, see, that's why I don't like helping people in church. When you help them, they take you for granted. So based on that, I won't help anybody in church again. So you must have a heart that's ready to trust. And number five, a clear understanding on how to set healthy boundaries. Please. Excuse me. Let us, bros, I like the way you are dressed. We are wearing the same clothes. Sorry, color of cloth. Hope you don't mind. I want us to do example so that you understand our boundaries. Please slap me. And we slap. Don't slap it too hard too. But imagine that he has slapped me. Now, this is, imagine he has slapped me. Something transpired that made him slap me. He didn't just wake up and slap. Maybe there was a discussion and all that, and then everything was went to a sour. He slapped me. Now, what some of us would do is to create a wall. A wall simply means I will never have anything to do with this guy again. Right? But a boundary goes beyond the wall. It simply not allowing those opportunities that gave rise to the slap. Did you see what I said? So, when we know that there are discussions that will give rise to slap, we organize the discussion so that slap won't come out. Are you getting my picture? Thank you very much. So I gave you these five steps so that you can see. If you go home and work on it, you begin. Because this was what he showed me. He said, this is what you need to do. That's how you stop controlling people. Because everything that is here is total dependence on the Holy Spirit. Total dependence on God. A perspective. We live in a world where the way they are shooting things, you may want to choose the worst perspective. Do me, I do you. God on the verse. You don't read, though. No, just do and follow. Are you getting the picture? So you need to go through this again and again. It will help you to sustain any relationship you are in over years and years and years. It will help you to thrive in relationships. Now, I'm going to say, I want us to say this prayer because I feel this is a prayer. Maybe we should rise on our feet and begin to and say this prayer. This is Paul speaking to the guys in Ephesus. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom the whole family in heaven on earth derives his name. Now he says, I pray that out of the glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I want you to hold somebody's hand because there are two prayer points here. When I was closing, hold somebody's two hands. So it's a simple prayer, but you are asking, it's a family prayer. It's a family prayer. Thank you. Roll that in for me. Today we are saying, I say yes to. Yes, yes, Lord. To your ways. I don't want to control anybody. So, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. So, Lord, I pray that you strengthen my neighbor. Hold somebody's hands, please. It's very important. I sense grace resting on us because something is being lifted. My brother, hold the person's two hands. Don't hold only one. Say, Father, strengthen my brother's hand. Strengthen my sister's hand. With your power. In his inner being. In our inner being. So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. I pray that we will be rooted and established in love. That we may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge. Now just leave your neighbor's hand and do me a favor, just lift up your hands. Imagine Jesus were in front of you, and we're going to sing that song. I say, yes, Lord, I sense grace. Some of us, there's a brokenness that God wants to take us, have been really tortured, that what we are having is a plastic relationship. It's not real. We're just in relationships and we're just there. Let it be that we went. Let it be that we are in a relationship. But I sense God removing that veil. So as we worship him, even as we've made this prayer, something will drop. I sense your heart will be readjusted.
I see, yes.
So sing them with me.
And I say yes, Lord.
It's a simple song.
And I say yes.
If they have it, on, they can put it up.
Yes to your name, Lord. I'll say yes. I'll say yes.
Church, please lift up your voice and sing this song together.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.